You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Just recently, I returned from a trip to my alma mater. It was my homecoming for my 25th anniversary of having graduated. 25 years ago was when I finished. Amazing how time flies. While I was there, I ran into lots of people that I'd known in the past, some I recognized and some I strained to remember. But I started reflecting. I started reflecting about how I show up. Did I show up while I was in college? Did I show up with my friends there? Did I do all the things that I could have done? So the question I have for all of us is, how are we showing up? And I think it has some real relevance to working on a marriage. We have places where we do and where we don't show up. Or to say more clearly, we really have the question of how much we show up. I mean, if we are somewhere, we are showing up to some degree. But how much are we truly showing up? Here's the reason I bring up that word. Every year, my family has a tradition of choosing a word to live into during the coming year. Now, this year, I cheated a little bit because I hyphenated. My word was show up, hyphenated, show up. And I chose that because I really wanted to think about how I'm showing up in the world. Let me tell you why that's become important to me. About 10 years ago, I became ill. Not just a little ill, very, very sick. And that sickness was one that lasted for a number of months. About half a year, I was really sick. And you may have heard me tell the story, but the fact is, this illness was one of those times when I really had to face the fact that I might not survive. In fact, I remember being on the couch when the doctor called. After my original diagnosis, they figured out what was happening to me. The doctor called to talk to my wife about that. It was after that evening, after they had been able to look at my CAT scans and really make sure they knew what was happening. Now, let me give you a couple of hints. First of all, if your doctor calls your house after hours, it's really not a good sign. And when they use their first name, it's even worse. And when they give you their personal cell phone, it's even worse. And all of that was happening as I was lying on the couch watching my wife begin to be more and more upset and hurt and crying about what he was saying. And what he was basically was saying was that he was so sorry to tell us, but my chance, according to statistics, my chance of recovery was pretty slim. In fact, my chance of being totally permanently disabled and eventually dying from this was about 87%. Clearly, that didn't happen. I was fortunate in how sick I was because I had a very severe case of what could have been a chronic disabling disease. And so it went away, but it caught my attention. And it made me really think about, what am I doing here? What am I going to leave behind? What's my legacy? What am I leaving that means something? And what I realized was I wasn't always showing up in life. That sometimes I was taking the easy way out. Sometimes I was not being really about showing up. And I'll tell you, now, I don't always show up 100% of the time, but my efforts are to show up more. And so it's not about perfecting showing up. It's about making sure you're showing up more. You may have heard Woody Allen's quote, and as Woody Allen verifies it, what he said was 80% of success is showing up, not of life, but of success is showing up. Now, this is not presence. When he was talking about that, it wasn't about a presence, about just kind of hanging out and being there. And, you know, if you just kind of stumble onto the scene, then it'll take care of itself. When he was interviewed and talked about that quote, what he said is that showing up is not just about the presence, but of bringing yourself to whatever you're doing. I mean, we can be there, but are we really there? And so what he talked about was when he was a child, he wanted to learn to play the cello. And part of what it meant to play the cello was showing up to practice every time, but not just showing up like being there, but really engaging in the practice. Of having practice, of going to the lessons, of learning the lessons. In other words, showing up, being physically present was step one. Showing up, being truly present was the reality. And so success was doing those things. He was actually talking when he first said that quote about he's being asked for advice for young playwrights. And what he said is, you got to do the work. You know, success is showing up. In other words, if you say you want to be a playwright, write a play. If you want to be a novelist, write a novel. Whatever you want to do, do it. And then you're ahead of 90% of the others who say they want to do it, but don't do it. So success is about actually stepping out and doing those things. So if we think of it that way, how are we showing up, not just physically present, but bringing ourselves into the presence? A lot of times we're distracted, we're distant, we're thinking about the past or we're worrying about the future, and we're not engaged on what's going on now. So there are some barriers to showing up. Let's talk just for a minute about those barriers. One is a distraction. We live in a distracted world. We live in a world where it's so easy to escape the present moment into something else. Think about how we do that. The other night I was sitting there on the couch watching TV with my iPhone beside me and my iPad in my lap doing a little bit of work. I was not watching TV. I was not engaged in work, and I certainly wasn't ready for a phone call that would have come in. I was completely distracted from anything I was really doing, and guess who was beside me? My poor wife. Now, she was watching TV. She was engaged in the show, and part of it was it just didn't have my attention. But I wasn't engaged in any piece of what was going on. I was partly engaged in a lot, but not fully engaged in anything. Think about the other distractions. We distract ourselves with drugs and alcohol. We distract ourselves with gambling. We distract ourselves with lots of vices out there. And it really isn't that what the vices are designed to do, is to distract us from what's going on around us, to not to be truly present, to not be fully engaged in what's going on, to numb ourselves a little bit. So we distract ourselves. So how many times are you reading the paper or looking at your phone or looking at a tablet or looking at the computer when your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents, your whoever, your friends are all talking to you? And at that point, we're not really doing any of the pieces that we're acting like we're doing, particularly, though, about relationships. Because in my mind, in the end, that's kind of what we have left. Relationships and relating. So we have these distractions that we have to decide we're not going to allow to pull us away from what we want to be, which is in the present and with the people around us. Another barrier is just laziness. It takes effort, takes energy. And sometimes we get in the habit of waiting for the energy to come to us rather than realizing that energy comes from within us, that we create that energy. We create that place of connection. We're not waiting for it to happen. Another distraction or another barrier is fear. Now, you notice that that's a recurring theme in my work because we are so dominated. We're such fearful creatures. We don't want to be and we don't want to admit it, but we are because we're wired that way. We're wired to look for threats. We're wired to look for what's dangerous. We're wired to look for lots of things out there that are going to keep us at a place of distance. We fear being hurt. We fear being rejected. We fear lots of things that keep us from really fully engaging. We fear that someone might reject us. Huge one. So a lot of times we don't fully engage because then we can't be fully rejected. I remember when I was young, I had the habit of writing a paper one time, not proofreading it, not editing it, just writing it and turning it in. Until a college professor caught me on it, and he gave me a C, and he had to go to his office and talk to him, and he said, "This is not a C paper. This is an A paper, except for I happen to realize that it is your first draft." Why do you do that? And my first response was, "I don't know. It's just how I write." And what I realized was, because I knew that if I wrote the first draft and turned it in and it was something bad was said about it, I could simply say, well, I didn't really put in my full effort. It gave me a safety place of holding on to my selfhood, right? It kept me at a safe distance from true criticism. And it's the same when we meet people. You know, if we kind of put on who we are, if we act in certain ways, we stay safe. We stay a little distant so that if they reject us, don't want to be our friend, don't want to hang around with us, that's okay. We have a place where we can hide. We have a place where we can kind of move away from that and say, well, they didn't really know us anyway. Do we do that with our spouse too? That we don't really say, oh, this is how I'm feeling, because we're fearful that they would know something about us, which leads to that last barrier I want to talk about, which is resentment. Sometimes we don't show up because we don't want to get near the emotions associated with that. We want to stay a little bit distant from that. Maybe someone's made us angry, and so to prove our point, to prove our anger, we're going to stay a little distant from them. Or to protect ourselves, we're going to stay a little bit distant from them. And then we don't have to truly engage with them in any way. So our resentment creates a barrier. So what are some steps to get around that? First one is obvious. Let's avoid distractions. One of the things I'm trying to train myself to do is to make sure that when I am with somebody, I'm truly with them. It used to be very easy. When I was in the counseling office all day, every day, that was my full-time job, instead of what it is now, which is part-time. When I was there all day, I had nothing to distract me. In fact, what I recognized was for the people coming to my office, this was probably a rare moment when I was listening, somebody was listening to them with no distraction and no purpose other than listening to them intently, listening for the deeper meaning. But the funny thing was, as soon as I left the office, I would revert to the humanity that lots of us do. So try to train myself to avoid distractions when I'm interacting. And so I basically have a priority, relationships first. So if it's time to relate, I'm going to truly relate. If it's time for me to do something else, if it's time for me to work, then I need to say to whoever is around me, hey, I've got to spend this time working. But when it's relating time, it's time to truly relate and set aside the distractions. Another step is to confront the fear. Ralph Waldo Emerson said one of my favorite quotes, "He who is not every day conquering some fear has not learned the secret of life. Fears keep us captive and keep us playing small." So we act in certain ways. You know, we don't reveal ourselves to other people fully so they can't reject us. And yet when we do that, we also do not give them the opportunity of knowing us authentically. Our authentic self is the one that has the potential for people to love, people to adore. Instead, we leave a little hollow place. So to confront the fear and realize that their fear is there, and in spite of that, you're going to engage, is a way of making sure you show up. Another step is to choose to forgive. Realize that you have lots of options, but forgiving is choosing not to forget what happened, but to not let it hold you back. Resentment is what happens when we don't forgive, when we decide to hold on to those things, when we decide to hold on to the hurts, to hold a list of what wrongs have been done to us. When we choose to forgive, we decide to release that list and make sure we don't allow that to constantly dictate to us how we're going to act and respond. Now, choosing to forgive doesn't mean that you're therefore going to relate to everybody. You may still say, this person is not safe, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. That's completely fair and completely separate from forgiveness. But choosing to forgive is recognizing that there's a conscious choice in there. One of my favorite books is Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And in it, he talks about how when he was in a concentration camp, reduced to the base human instincts, he realized that the one last thing that people cannot take from you is your choice of attitude, your choice of how you will be in the world. He didn't mean that you always had to have a great outlook. You always had to be cheerful and upbeat. That's not what he said. But you don't have to let somebody else dictate how you're going to respond. Sometimes we get wrapped up in bitterness from how people have treated us, losing the fact that we are on some level choosing that attitude. We think that it just makes sense, but it's really a choice that we take that on. So when we choose to forgive, we choose not to be held hostage by those actions. Another step to showing up is to be truly present. What that means is that when you're listening to the other person, you're not waiting for your turn to say what's on your mind. You're not just waiting for the chance for you to say, here's what I think, but you're listening, fully engaged with what the other person is thinking, fully engaged with what the other person is saying. Think of the difference in time when you've had someone who's really listening to you versus the time that somebody's really just waiting to respond, and you know that difference in place. Sometimes I'll have people interview me, and I can tell that all they're doing is waiting for the next chance to ask me the next question. And I'm sitting there going, we could have spent 2 hours talking about this, and you're ready to jump to the next question because in your mind, the dialogue goes this way. But here's the interesting thing. I do that too, and you do that too, and we all do that. We all have an internal dialogue where we're waiting for the lines to play out. They never play out the way we think they are. People never follow our lead of how it should go. People aren't reading from the same script we are, but we continue to try to get them back onto that script. So being present is making sure that you're listening to the other person, not waiting for your chance to impart your knowledge, to impart your opinion, to impart something, but you're listening to where they are. And that's an offering of yourself, of being authentic to that person, of being connected with where you are and with where they are. And that's not about an intelligence thing, but about an emotional state. Being aware how you're feeling, of what's going on in your gut, of where things are headed for you, of how you're relating. I would encourage you to think about how you might learn by reflection on how to show up more. At the end of the day, I have a process of thinking, how did I show up? And I basically ask myself 4 questions. Did I show up is the first one. And I kind of go through the day. Did I show up here? Did I show up there? And it's not a way of chastising myself, but of thinking through what kept me from showing up more. That's the second question. What kept me from showing up more there? Was it laziness? Was I distracted? Because if, for instance, I needed to be doing something else, it's only fair for me to say that to the other person in the middle of the conversation. There are times when I'm in the middle of a project and somebody comes up to talk to me, and instead of either stopping the project or stopping that person, I try to do both, and I do neither well. And so sometimes it's necessary for me to say to the other person, you know what? I've got 30 minutes more. I've got to get in here. Then I'll put it aside. There are other times when I need to say to whatever project I'm doing, you'll have to wait. This person is more important. Either one is fine, but you got to decide what you're going to do. So what kept me from showing up more? Was it fear? Did I have some response where I was avoiding being fully engaged? Or maybe I had some resentment that I needed to let go of. And so it gives me a place to realize I needed to let go of that before I continue to engage. So then I ask the question, when was I less fully myself? When did I hold back my true self? Was it emotional? Was it pretending I was someone I was not? Was it pretending I agreed when I didn't? Was it pretending I disagreed when I didn't? And how did I distract myself? What are the ways that I continue that process of staying just a little bit distance? That gives me a reflection point to recognize how I'm showing up, how I'm being truly present or not being present in the situation. Which brings me to 5 P's that I want you to think about. These are the 5 P's of showing up. 1 is presence. Showing up requires you to really be present with what's going on. It requires you to really be there, to really be a person that is in that moment. The second piece it requires is passion, that you know what you're in love with, that you know what drives you, what your meaning is behind, which leads us to the third piece of purpose. Passion and purpose are not the same. Passion is what drives that inner glow. But purpose is a little bit different. Purpose is realizing that you have some mission that you're trying to get to. Think about it in terms of working on your marriage. Working on your marriage has a purpose to it. It may not be that you have so much passion about the relationship right now, but you have a passion of following those vows, and your purpose is to restore your relationship. Which brings us to the next P, which is patience. Sometimes you have to kind of step back and wait. You might be waiting for the other person to continue to explain themselves. You might be waiting for an entree point to reengage that relationship. You may have to wait until there's a place in life where you can do more. Which leads to the fifth P, perseverance. Can you hang in there? Can you keep at it? Can you keep working to kind of take those little steps? Perseverance is not about going, I can do a little sprint. It's about going, I can run the marathon. I can keep at it. My endurance will be there. I will persevere. One of the things that I really learned from when I was training to run a marathon was simply this. Sometimes my body would say, you gotta quit. And all it was a mindset. I'd run that far before. My body was not hurt. There was nothing going on other than my chest was a little sore from breathing. My heart was beating hard. And I had to say to myself, I can keep going. I can keep going. I don't have to quit. So much of when we quit is often based on the fact that we tell ourselves we have to, not that we have to. The difference in our thoughts and the reality of it. So the four P's of showing up are presence, being there, really being engaged, passion, knowing what makes that fire in your belly, purpose, what are you trying to get to? What's the higher piece that drives you? Patience, that's the ability to wait it out until there's time, and perseverance, which is to continue to move forward. Passion, presence, purpose, patience, perseverance. You do those pieces and you'll be showing up. Those are the ingredients of showing up. Not just kind of stumbling through, but truly showing up to life. So I challenge you to think, when are you showing up? And how can you show up more with presence, with passion, with purpose, with patience, and with perseverance? Okay, so now it's your turn. I want to tell you how you can help us help you. First is, if you have subscribed to this podcast and you're listening by iTunes or Stitcher or one of the other podcast programs, then you might want to go over to the blog. That you can get there by going to the SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. If you go to SaveTheMarriageBlog.com, you'll find the blog that holds this podcast, and you can leave us a comment. And that comment, I read every single one of them and often respond to them if it needs a response. But it's also a place that you can leave ideas, not just responses to this, but also ideas on what you would like to hear in this podcast. You can also get to us just by emailing podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. Now, I want to be clear. That's not how you get information to me that you want an answer to. You have some question about your relationship. That's not what that's about. You can find help through my staff. You can come through the Save the Marriage website and get to me or my staff and find some answers. This is simply a way for you to say, hey, I would love to hear about this on your podcast. So again, that email is podcast@savethemarriage.com. You can give me some questions that you want answered on this or some statements about what you think about what you're hearing. I'd be happy to hear about that. And you can also leave a voicemail for us. That number is 4, help, 44132. 4-HELP, 44132. Or if you don't want to look up the letters, it's 443-574 443-574-4132. That's 443-574-4132. That will let you leave a voicemail. And that voicemail gives us a way of listening to what you have to say, how you would like this podcast to go, responses you might have to the podcast, and gives us a way of listening in, getting a pulse for where you want to be. So let us know. Let us hear from you so we'll know how we can improve this, what we can add, questions that you might want addressed in future shows. And what I would ask is that you just stay tuned. Let us continue to help save your marriage. I wish you the best. This is Lee Balcom. We're hanging in there with you. Hang in there with us. I wish you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.